which I believe now we have been able. We know what we want, we know what the public wants, we know what the region, SADC, and Africa as a continent aspire from us as we are doing our work in the portfolio committee. Critical being that we should be able to legislate in such a way that it will be able to assist questions of development agendas of the Republic of South Africa. We should legislate in such a way that we can be able to find ways and means which would assist the people of the Republic to realize the ideal of a better life in South Africa, because that is the main ideal that as we wake up every morning, we're looking for a better life for all people in South Africa. Having said that, we've got a few apologies. We've got the apology from Honorable De Freitas, from Honorable Khadebe, who is attending classes, from Honorable Mlaudzi, who I believe is as a legal, aspirant legal person. He is in the Constitutional Court program because he aspired to be a judge one day. And and last, and we've got Honorable Kesa. As when I was talking to her last week, probably she may join, I'm not sure, but last week she wasn't well, still consulting the doctor. Honorable Ramatakana will be leaving for another appointment at what?
At quarter past ten.
So basically, these are the official apologies that we have received. We also received an apology from Deputy Minister Chikunda, who had indicated that she will be unable to attend the meeting as scheduled in our program. We've got the agenda in front of us. We definitely will be dealing with three critical issues. We have to consider the report on international conventions on liability and compensation for damage in connection with hazardous and noxious substances. We must also consider our oversight report. They are really long overdue. And it can't be right that we do oversight and there is no actionable issues that comes out of that oversight, because we identify oversight both based on the issues that we would like to monitor, evaluate, and in the end comes critical is that we should be able to make proposals to the executive authority as to how to deal with those issues of oversight. And probably lastly, we should be able to consider the minutes and adopt the minutes of the previous committee sittings. I don't know if there are other issues that members would like to put on this short and concise agenda as it will be. It's all. Thank you very much. I'm just going to go into the first item, which is we should be considering the adoption of committee report on international convention. This has been dealt with. I don't know if members have got issues. Can we agree? I'm just reading it into the microphone, the report of the Portfolio Committee on the International the report on the Portfolio Committee on Transport on the International Convention
on liability and compensation for damage in connection with hazardous and noxious substances by CE 2010. NHS concert with the convention dated the 9th of February. The Portfolio Committee on Transport, having considered the request for proposal by Parliament on the HNS convention and the explanatory memorandum thereto, referred to it, recommended that the House, in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution, 1996, approve the said convention report to be considered. Do we agree to the passing and the approval of this Honorable Ramasaka and Mr. Kenda?
Yes, Chair, I move that we adopt the report.
Thank you very much. Honorable Masangai. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The report was adopted. Also seconded or seconded by Honorable Mzinga. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Can we move into the consideration of the oversight report? We've got the oversight report of PRASA, which took place on the 22nd and the 23rd of July. I request the committee secretary to just briefly take us through. Thank you.
some recent conditions that happened at 5 CDC the observations that members made but the committee hasn't finalized the recommendations yet, especially in terms of the light that at the time of the opposition, the construction of the plant that we started, and the projected finalization of the manufacturing of the party of the report, I found a visit to the office last year ago, where members were interacting with families to find out how they were experiencing the service after the challenges in terms of the health operations in the area. Observations and interactions with passengers to themselves. And some of the regulations may not make it
This is another area in terms of the business
Chair, thank you very much. Well, the report was a good read and good reminder when one was reading this episode 2015 July. The only thing that I had a concern about was on the bullet number 4 on page 6. If you remember, the committee was briefed about the locomotives, and the specification was detailed on the board or the overhead projector in terms of what the height of this and what has been the discussion. And the conclusion of that presentation was that the height of the locomotive is well within the prescribed height in terms of the safety regulation. If you remember, we did ask the gentleman who chairs or the CEO of the rail safety to talk about that, which he also confirmed that the issue they were busy with, they have commissioned the study to look at all the locomotives, but so far, they, much as they have not been the part of that, but they were happy that the height of the train has not been a big issue because of the what was given as a specs. So my recollection, therefore, I think I recollect that we have noted what has been said at the, because there was a public debate discourse around the media that said this is too high, they can't go under the bridge, they stuck under the bridge. So the concern that we expressed, I think we in fact did not say that. We said we've noted the issue about the height and the fact that the rail safety was busy with the commission, with the study, testing all those trains under all the South African rail. So I think we need to modify the concern, because the concern here is as if we did not get necessarily a briefing that was concerned. You could modify that. Then, can I say the chair? Yeah, now on the page 7 of the report, I think it should be in the recommendation. We did not complete this, but it is, but continue to our view that we are going to have a follow-up meeting with GASA on some of these issues, including the fact that we did not see the depot, the whole kind of the cancellation and all other things. So the recommendation for me should have kept our wish to have a follow-up discussion with the board, with GASA, where they will give us a full update on the issue that we have highlighted on the stage. Now, I don't know whether the meeting that was disrupted by the workers had to do had to do with some of the issues that they were giving us an update. So I wanted to suggest, Chair, that the recommendation should catch one, that we want the committee a follow-up WhatsApp briefing or full detail on some on the issue about the depot issue, the cancellation of the contract has been complete, the delivery. There was an issue about delivery date, whether the delivery has been taken, those train that has arrived, if they have been, basically, each depot is housed in them. So those three things for me, we should be follow-up discussion with the board anyway.
As one is speaking now, particularly affecting the very subject matter that we are talking to in terms of the 400, whatever you call them, particularly looking into contracts PASA, which I think as a committee, as recommendations, you have just indicated, Honorable Maramataka, we also need to request the Executive Council or the Executive Authority to rein in into PASA on how they do things. Because to some of us who are outsiders, looking at how PASA is doing things, without the executing authority maybe saying, you can't do this, to me it says that we are allowing a situation where you have persons or personalities who actually can be able to do things without anybody saying anything. And it is not about PASA only, it is about other people, other countries, every other person looking to add, as we in the South, how we're dealing with business, and in particular businesses that are operated within government, that we can allow a board in a China shop and be able to do any every other thing without us raising a finger or saying a word, because what is happening in PASA has got a negative bearing into other SOEs, it's got a negative bearing into other state-owned companies, because people start to look at us to say, this is how we deal with government business in the Republic of South Africa, and that to me, that is why I'm saying the other proposal and recommendation that we should do is to say to the executing authority, can you please rein in onto PASA, much as they are doing whatever they are doing, they must also remember that they are not an island in terms of a state-owned enterprise and state-owned companies. Therefore, their actions or inactions impact onto the other companies that are government-owned. Suffice to say, Honorable Ramatakana, the meeting which was disrupted by the protest which was here in the parliament precinct was to deal with the annual reports of PASA. Amongst other things that we had insisted that we would want to see happen if we could call as a committee was to say to PASA board, we don't want to listen to the group CEO, acting group CEO, but we want the CEOs of all the subsidiaries to come and tell us, because the Auditor General and the annual report are indicating as to where are the problems in PASA, whether it's Interside, whether it's Rastercraft, whether it's wherever, we wanted everybody to come and account and say to us, you have been dropping the ball in terms of governance. What are the issues, what are the systems that you have to put in place in terms of making sure that governance in your portfolio is upheld? You cannot deal with issues of IG and all these other things that the AG has raised in the Auditor General's report. And the thing is, what we wanted to hear is, for the past 5 years, going backwards, these have been sending items which are raised on an annual basis in the annual report, but there is no movement or shift towards the better. Instead, you see some of the others getting onto this movement, a downward spiral. So those were the issues that we wanted to deal with, to say we want all the CEOs, and I think we should be able to deal with that as speedily as is possible. Before we even deal with the third quarter report, so that when we deal with the third quarter report, then we can be able to really sanction better approaches towards how we deal with some of these people. Because all the time, Mr. Montana is gone. They're shielding behind him. The acting group CEO, they are now hiding behind him. For how long are people going to be in this position without being challenged? We want to go to the source now. We don't want a proxy who will be able to come and talk on behalf of the subsidiary CEO. Group CEO is just an overarching and overall. We want these CEOs who are in charge of this day-to-day running. Because when they say a tender of 10 million, there are these issues down the line. It starts with the commissioner, somebody who's commissioning, up until the group CEO signing. That is the last step, because he believes that all as it comes up to him, everything has been done according to book. When the chips are down, who cares if the cost? It is the group CEO alone, and then the rest of the people are his. So we don't want to see what has happened to Lucky Montana happening to the acting group CEO or the one who's going to be incumbent. We want to nip that thing in the bud so that people can be able to take accountability over the inactions or the actions, commissioning or not commissioning. They should be able to take account to that. So those are the issues which actually we were dealing with when it comes to the issues. But I think the other one, which actually is AutoPet, the second visit of the second day gallery of AutoPet, it will be ideal if we can be able to include the report that we got to the MC Valley as part of the buildings towards this thing, because that report has very informative information, and actually it was starting to make a way forward as to the relationship between the local government, as in the Kwame Metro, the National Department of Transport, and the Provincial Department and subsidiaries, which to me, I take it that it should be able to help us so that going forward, as a committee, do we see us looking into the legislation to say intergovernmental relations when it comes to transport, what are the things that we believe we can be able to do? Which legislation do we amend which can be able to deal with this? Are the policies enough? We look at BRT, because we, as a committee, we have said that the bus rapid transport is implemented, it's not the one size fits all, but the way it gets implemented, it creates problems. When you go to Gojoj, there is this, you go to my city, there is this, you go to Arien, there is this, you go to the Raya, everybody has got their way of how to implement the BRT. So to me, I would say that let's include the report that was presented to us by MC Valdi, but also as a committee, we need to say, how do we synergize all these things already we've got six cities metros who are implementing this bus rapid transport. Can we maybe in the next cycle look into all these things, or in the next committee sitting, get all those operational programs from these cities, analyze them, and be able to say, this is where we have seen the deficiencies, this is how they can complement one another, this is a good model in terms of implementation, because the crux of the matter is not about policy. The challenge is implementation and sometimes understanding of how to do this critical thing. And to me, I believe that we need to give ourselves time to look into all those nitty-gritties in terms of the bus rapid transport, as was explained. Because in terms of the MEC Valley, they are moving towards working with the national department to can be able to make sure that what is happening in Mamelodi can be another kind of a model which can complement what BRT in Tshwane is doing. So the workings between the mayor, the executive mayor, Ramokopa, minister of transport in the Republic, Minister Peters, and the MEC in Gauteng, that group and energy will be able to assist us how to move forward.
Honorable Sibane, will follow.
Chairperson,
thank you very much. And I wanted maybe to appreciate all of the colleagues who are back, as we have noticed that during December time and January, including our chairperson, was not well. It was the mama who tried to work not well. So, Chairperson Siadabula must embrace it because we work as a team. Chairperson, let's go to page 7 on visit to a PEX passport. I'm not comfortable with bulletin 2, which says traveling by digs was a challenge, as digs were regarded as unworthy, unlicensed, and takes tend to debate of road, especially during road blocks. I'm not comfortable with that one. Because if you go to bulletin 1, 2, 3, 4, you can hear, to me, a contradiction, which is true, what they said. The commuters had no problem with taxi as bus operating on the same route as the demand of our transport was high. I'm comfortable with it. But the first one, please, I'm not comfortable, 100%. And then come to the recommendation. I do support the chairperson when the chairperson says we must include the report by the MEC of Transport of Gauteng, because even the last comment was that we were still waiting for their report. True, because our visit was not completed because we were still waiting for their report so that it can be included in our report. I think that one which I supported 100%. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Masani.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me qualify, I was not part of the oversight visit. Mm-hmm. However, there are issues that are placed in the report. First is page 6 on the RSR, the identified key challenges on the following. The real infrastructure, is it owned by Transnet or PRASA or... So this overlap of these two competencies, sometimes I get lost. So if there are these challenges, who's supposed to repair the aging infrastructure, do the maintenance, and so on and so on? I will allow to meet the transport and the transmitters this unit or it falls under enterprise, because from time to time Brussels, you know, Transnet, whatever. And we're not sure whether Transnet does take that responsibility or just abdicating their responsibility. So it will be important because we can't ignore what has been identified or not as yet. This is very critical. If rail infrastructure is aging, it's a matter of time that passengers get involved in a very serious accident and it becomes a national catastrophe. So we will have to make follow up on this to make sure that all these issues raised here are addressed. And making a follow up on the issue raised by Honorable Ramathasan on page 6, the last point. This locomotive person that you met, you embarked on this oversight, where are they? Are they in operation now, or they are parked in a depot or at a manufacturing plant? Where are they? Because this is public money. We have to account, I mean, they have to account for it. So I'm not sure. I will want to clarify to what's happening to this. And the issue that we raised, the issue of Prasa doing things on their own, does it mean that the executive authority has lost control of their willing partners? So that before we make a conclusion, I don't know, it's a parastatal account to a politician, and they just go a wall, and you can't say you are helpless, it can't be. So there's no such. We have to get clarity, Mr. President. I've never heard it that a parastatal can do as it wishes, whereas all the executive powers are with the politician. Let's get this clear. Now we are getting into the political space. What's happening? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Ramathasan?
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. I think the point that Congressman Honorable Zonga is making about the where are they. I think the recommendation that we have made under the recommendation, the new one, about the briefing that Prasa must give us around the depot, because remember they've cancelled the contract that was supposed to be the depot. So we need to know where they are. But what we were informed by the regulator, they were testing all these locomotives in order for them to give them the certificate that they are well suited to be able to operate throughout the country. I think their report supposed to have been completed sometime yet. It's a matter of just that we need to also get a briefing from them in terms of it. I think Chair is one of the recommendations that we could make, that they also brief us in terms of what is the final outcome of that testing. Now, the recommendation that we should include that. Now, Chair, we must have that discussion with the on the follow-up meeting about some of the things that Comrade or Honorable Member the Songwa is mentioning. I think we need to have that discussion about the parastatal in general. So that one will be on our agenda. I think that we have enriched this report. May I make a suggestion that we adopt this report to those amendments and recommendations that and refinery that we have made to it.
What I remember, there's a proposal by Honorable Ramathasan that we adopt the report with the amendments and the input that have been made by Honorable Member. But also, I need to indicate Honorable Masangani that sometime last year we had a meeting with PRASA and Transnet on this lack of planning in terms of infrastructure, because we've got the railways which belong to Transnet and railways that belong to PRASA. If you want to see then where, maybe that's one thing that you should be able to do, just bypassing. If you go to Pretoria North, you will find that there's a platform which is this small. It belongs to Transnet. There's another platform which is level to the trains. It belongs to PRASA. If the train passes, not and it stops and you are unfortunate at that, it means you have to go down very seriously so you can be able to reach the Transnet. Even the ablution facilities and everything and everything is like that. Even the training, there will be cleaners that belongs to PRASA and cleaners that belongs to Transnet. It can't work like that. But the act is very clear as to what the executing authority should be able to do in this regard, and making sure that the assets are controlled from the one central command. And it not only is it a problem in this regard when you talk to the assets, Transnet is charging its a lease. PRASA is leasing as it travels on any Transnet rail, the lease. And there are a lot of money owed by PRASA to Transnet in this regard. The worst thing that happens is, as the passenger train is traveling, and that I'm told really happens a lot in the Northern Cape as you come to Cape Town, those routes. If a Transnet freight is coming, passengers are put aside. They can be for 3 hours, 4 hours, they must wait for the freight, which is carrying whatever comes from the mines in the Northern Cape. So the passengers must be parked there until that freight passes, because the freight, this is our property, and therefore you are renting. Which one is better between the rocks in those freight trains of Transnet and the passengers who are waiting there in those areas of the Karoo waiting for the train to pass? Which one is who do we prioritize here? Those are some of the things which actually from time to time you will hear from people who are experiencing this type of thing. So these are the things that we need to unpack. The meeting that we have at some stages between the two parastatals, we can see that everybody is protecting their own turf. PRASA doesn't want to move an inch, and instead Transnet is wanting to overshadow PRASA in terms of taking over every asset that is rail-related. If you would recall the African National Congress Reconstruction and Development document of 1993. It tells you that the focus must be on transport going to the rural areas. And transport going to the rural areas, many of our people were reliant on trains. Whether you're taking the Eastern Cape, whether you're taking KZN, whether you're taking Musina to Houten, whichever you want to. The trains are dysfunctional. Our people are struggling. But that was the mode of transport which actually we should have improved going further. But because of this anomaly that we're seeing between transport and PRASA, Shosholola May is scaling down all those trains in, whether it's the urban trains or the rural main lines, they're scaling down precisely because of the challenges that they're getting from Transnet. So these are the things that, as a committee, we need to take consideration thereof and be able to assist the minister as to how do we now take this process forward. It's a very serious process because we will never realize the ideal of public transport that is accessible, whether it's in the urban areas or whether it's in rural areas, because here in Cape Town, for example, on a daily basis, you never reach your destination on time because you've got the Izinoka still in the cables. You've got the trains that are not properly serviced by Plaza, and therefore it impacts on the economy actually. Committing is another thing, but also even the economy of the republic is suffering based on these multiple things that we are seeing. Because much as we are talking about the rolling stock and the new trains, which we will be able to go and check where they are about, there are other things which actually are just quickly going down the slope like that. Because I'm just talking about Cape Town here, which all of us can be able to experience maybe. Committee secretary, the other oversight that we should do is just to travel by train and experience what our commuters on a daily basis are experiencing, which is very heartbreaking. There is mugging in Gautrain. Every coach has got two protectors. In our transport here, there is not a single protector. The whole train, you get mugged, everything is happening, and all those things. But if you can go and see the subsidy between our trains and the South train, you will be very shocked. You will be really shocked as to what exactly are the issues. And my belief is that these are the things that we should be able to start unraveling today. But what exactly are we doing to ourselves? Do we hate ourselves so much that we can be able to disregard what is ours, which will be able to help us? Because the more we take care of the commuters that are going, whether to Durban or Johannesburg, Cape Town, we are improving the economy, it will be jobs that will be created. Or do we hate ourselves that we don't even care? If it's not broken, of course we will not fix it. But we can see that this is getting broken every day. We need to fix it. We need to deal with it. Is there a second from Mr. Honorable Ramakrishna's proposal? There's no second. Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Sibande. We will adopt this report with the additions that has been made. Look at the second bullet when we're talking about the visit to the autopex in comparison to the fourth bullet and be able to sanitize that one. Can we go into the next draft report, which was an oversight to the Northwest province? You are welcome, Honorable Mabida. Honorable Ramatakana will be recused, like I said earlier, that he will leave for the next meeting. Maybe okay. Before he leaves, Honorable Ramatakana is serving in two committees, the Committee on Police and our committee. We always interchange as to because both committees sit on the same day, and there's a nuance of a situation where they believe that he's forever late into this meeting. We believe that he's very critical in both committees and will not meet those committees. The Committee on Police has started almost the same time as us. That is why he had to start here, and we will continue. He would go and join the other portfolio committee. There's no mistake about what we're doing. We believe that he coming into this committee makes a very important statement. And when the committees are aligned like that, he's not the only one who's doing that. There are so many members who actually, from time to time, are doing that. The Honorable Marisa is just arriving from another committee. We must indicate that it's not because he's late. He comes from another committee. So these insinuations of members arriving late should be able to stop, because members are doing extremely well where they find themselves. And I'm not talking to members of the African National Congress only. If you would see Honorable Keita, most of the time, she will run to agriculture, run to this other portfolio committee. to, according to us, she is never late because she has been doing work somewhere. And that is what leadership is about, and we should be able to look at it, that we, they come in here, make a difference, provide leadership, go to the next committee, do exactly the same thing, and we really appreciate that type of interaction. And let me also indicate that even if they arrive late, sometimes they do send to me as a chairperson issues that they believe that in the eventuality they are discussed within their absence, I should be able to take it up and air their views. And I, sometimes I don't even say, I'm talking what Madhika has said to me or what Honorable Keita has said to me and so forth and so forth. But the essence is that in spirit, much as physically they are not here, they are always providing leadership. And I really want to say, I have read through some of these things as members, as I'm saying to you members, I take very serious objections around how people are looking at members, that it's like you are irresponsible when you arrive now, Honorable Madhika. To me, that I really take it that it is a disrespect not only on you, but also on me. Because as a chairperson of this portfolio committee, being aware that this is what is happening, I should be able to take accountability and responsibility over your actions in this committee. Your release, Honorable Ramataka.
Okay, if I may, suggest that given that there was a minute of the 26th of January, if you could not jump the deal with that minute.
Okay.
I need to make a comment before I leave.
Okay.
Can I?
Can quickly, Honorable Ramataka.
Sorry, just a quick correction.
You want to finish the minute, you're right.
26th of January.
Okay.
This minute was dealing with the OTA, the e-toll story.
Mm-hmm.
The amendment is only on page 4 of the minute. The 3.8 of the minute, I think we should put a word in front of a view. Remember, you have unsupported view. So we must not make it as a resolution. There was one member of the community who felt that there should be a discussion, joint discussion between Sandra as well as after that, which we said we can't have a discussion. We can't commit to have a meeting with an NGO together with the parastatal. So that view was really unsupported of you. So I think that I would suggest that we put unsupported view, because there was no support on that view.
There was no support.
Yes. And the second point to change for me, on 3.10 we should amend this minute. And we should say outer view on the proposed outer amendment and suggested that the matter, and we said that this is another issue about after. Now I want to delete from stand over and say the matter does not arise as no amendments are before the committee on after. An outer should follow a procedure when such amendment is published. Otherwise, what we said in the meeting is that we can't discuss some situation about the amendment of legislation. That an NGO, anybody, would be called upon to make a representation when that time arrives, when the amendment is on the table. For now, there's no amendment on the table, and therefore we cannot even start talking about the amendment of TATO. So those two points, I think, we should correct in a minute. Those are the two suggestions here. The essence of this is that we can't discuss after amendment because the amendment is not with the committee. We can only discuss amendment and consider those amendments when they are presented to us, in which case everybody has the right to make oral submission when that happens.
The last
paragraph, Honorable Sibanda-1, Honorable Sibanda-1. Yes, Chairperson, I also support what he raised, but also to oppose that, why don't you move 3.10 to treat it? Because we said, we can't discuss anything concerning ARCTO because this thing is still coming. It didn't come to us. We never discussed it. And then also, there was another one which was not satisfied. If we can start now today, in 2.7, they've quoted Honorable Sbu, not even Honorable Mr. Sbu. Oh, sorry. I've made a mistake. Let me withdraw that one. I'll come later. Let me withdraw that 1.7. I nearly made a mistake.
Okay.
Yes. No, Jay, the last sentence on this where we responded on comments, but we don't quite say what we said on the comments. You remember if I remind you on the comments that we said in that meeting that the issues that have been raised by the gentleman, Mr. Dunwaka, are not new. That all the presentation he made to the committee has also made to the committee of the Premier Makura as well as to the Deputy President. The same presentation was made there. And therefore, on the issues about halting or stopping the e-toll, is no. We're not going to be able to stop it. E-toll proceed as it has already been agreed. There's a special dispensation that was announced by the Deputy President, which everybody, including the committee, when it was briefed, accepted those dispensations, and therefore there's no issue about halting the e-toll in Gauteng. And therefore that the after thing, the sentence that we use out, I think we should delete that completely, because that one is already dealt with in 3.10, that we don't have a legislation on the table. We can't see the impact on anything that we do not have in front of us, so we delete that too.
Thank you very much. Any other thing in the minutes of the 26th of January? Nothing? Can we adopt the minutes with the amendment as made? 3.8 and 3.10 and the last paragraph on the very same page. Any other thing in terms of the total overhaul of the minutes? Can I move for adoption?
Okay. Can I just bring you the chair to page 1 on the apologies that
okay.
I was not present at the meeting, but I did send an apology to them.
Okay.
Send that to correct them.
That will be corrected. Okay. That will be corrected on our can we go back to the adoption of the report? Honorable Ramasaka, may I recuse adoption of the report? Oh. Oh, yes. I moved. Yeah,
he moved already.
He moved already.
That's the correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just saw the hand when he moved. I thought I'm sorry. I did not put it into the record. Honorable Ramatakana moved for the adoption, and Honorable Sibanda seconded the adoption of the minute of the 26th of January. Thank you very much. Can we go back to PRG? portfolio committee visit to Northwest?
Members of the committee visited the Northwest province in the past year to discuss the implementation of the provincial road management plan to assess whether the budget and efficiency as far back as we were
Thank you.
particularly in how the maintenance of roads and borders that is coming to add the resolution to some instances on the coming to commercial roads border to visible difference in the quality of road maintenance and the condition of those roads and borders in the future.
I think I would be acting Chairperson, since Chairperson is not allowed to proceed to process our reports. That is a summary on what we have observed during our visit to the Northwest. Let's have the comments from the committee. I think the Chairperson is back now. Comments from the committee. Those who were there. Sorry? Okay. Like the Chairperson is back, I think I will start to maybe to comment something. Chairperson, you came at the right time. The secretary was giving us the summary of report after our visit to the Northwest province. Chairperson, from my side, I'm not sure, but I need your help in this one. During our visit to Northwest, what I've learned, actually it was an embarrassment, those bridges which collapsed as far as 2010. My worry at the moment is that I'm not sure, because I don't have my notes with me here. Yeah. How many bridges collapsed, actually? Because here, our record has kept only three. So that's what I wanted us to correct. Because if you recall that well, we first visited that bridge, I don't know his name, whereby some taxi people were waiting for us at the other side. While we were at the other side, we couldn't talk to each other because of the situation of the bridge. I think the Chairperson is correct. It can be four, not three. I'm worried because we didn't track them all. And also, another thing which came was that the issue of the responsibility, the ownership responsibility, who owns and who supports between the two provinces, between Gauteng. I can't remember which bridge, but it must come out. Because we have noticed that among these bridges, the dispute between the two provinces, that actually who's supposed to take responsibility, either from Gauteng or Northwest. That is another point. And also, what was raised by the community is that these bridges are disadvantaging them economically. For an example, remember the issue of the taxi, the last bridge where we visited, that taxis also deserves, they wanted to put an increment. Because instead of going maybe 1 kilo, now they were forced to do more kilometers in order to assist the people. I'll record some of the things that in this round of my submissions, that we must make sure that we include those things. Also, Chairperson, I don't know where can we put it. Chairperson, if we recall very well, the damage of the bridges was so big to an extent. Some of the bridges, when we look, they wanted the intervention of the national, because we believe that the provinces sometimes they can't have those capacities because of what we observe, the structures which are remaining of the bridges. That is an issue of soil erosion, very close to the structures which is still remaining, of which it creates big dongas that if you maybe utilize these small companies, they wouldn't have capacity to repair those bridges. That's what we have observed, that the damage is so big unnoticed up until we visited those areas. And they also, the community requested us to fast-track the process because they indicated that they respect this government. Of course, it's true that they respect this government. And this thing, it is beyond their powers because it's now long time. There's no response either from local government, which this thing is very big for the local government, and also from the province, very big because of the damage of those areas.
Thank you very much. Let me indicate that we visited three bridges, but within that space of less than 10 kilometers in one river, there are four bridges which actually have been washed away between 2008 and 2012. That is how far back it has been. But we're able to visit three of the four bridges. The other bridge where the taxi owners were waiting for us, the other side, is the bridge which actually links Northwest and Gauteng, and from the investigations, we have since received a letter from MEC Valdi, who indicated that the bridge, they have started the redlining that very bridge, the program will start now, February, March. It's going to be taking longer for the maintenance and the repair of that bridge. The responses that we have not as yet received, which on site we were told that the provincial road management grant has been awarded, are the two bridges which actually falls under Northwest Province. In terms of the on-site report from the engineers and the HOED, they indicated that there is money, but indicated that they will try and do a low-level bridge for one of the two bridges so that they can be people can be able to pass easy. Remember, this is a situation of the clinic is the other side. When you have to go to the clinic, you have to take extra 15 kilometers for you to reach the clinic instead of 1.7 to 2 kilometers just across the bridge, which actually has made the community to use primitive methods of carrying people over the river through wheelbarrows, through mattresses, and all those primitive things that they have been using. And we believe they are being unfair. On the other side, that is the western side of the river, it's a high school. Children from the east must cross the river to go to the west, which is an anomaly in this instance, which obviously we can imagine during rainy weather, winter, the river is low, they are able to just fold their trousers and walk across. Summertime, if the river is high, it creates a danger. But having said that, I believe we should be able to engage the MEC for transport in Northwest, because the very N12 road that we visited during our oversight visit, subsequent to that in
in November, December, he collapsed because of the dolomite. So it tells you that you take 4 steps forward and take 10 steps backward. Remember the one that was going into the mines and we have been shown that it has been repaired. Dolomite right in the middle of the road. I can't remember that municipality, whether it's Center Stop or what. But the municipality was trying to deal with that situation. That is provincial road maintenance grant that we're talking about here. But we must commend a bit the maintenance that has been done in Moregin, much as it's not a very good one, to say that when the previous committee before us went there, it was not good. The site that they, on the legacy report, the site that they showed was not a very good site. But when we arrived there, there have been tremendous improvements on how those roads have been dealt with. So what becomes critical, honorable members, is that there is a problem in Northwest, and we should not deny the fact that there are problems. Because when you want to interrogate further what exactly this provincial road maintenance grant, we discovered that the provincial government does not allocate funding to roads. They rely on the provincial road maintenance grant to be able to do the road function in that provincial government. And I think this is where the provincial government is missing the point. And what really happens is, in terms of the provincial road maintenance grant, you submit a request on this particular road, and then get given money based on the request that you have submitted. Then go and execute. But when it's crunch time and the communities are complaining and they are protesting, they take from that very road maintenance grant to go and satisfy that community. And then the actual program of a PRMG falls by the wayside. This is the observation that we have made with the three bridges that I was talking about, that the three bridges got money from a provincial road maintenance grant of a national Department of Transport, but something else has cropped up which has made the money to be diverted, because the province does not, 880 million that come from the national department, 880 million plus that come from the national department, is the only funding which actually the provincial government of Northwest is using in terms of road maintenance. And I think we have to be clear in that regard. Because one of the things that as a committee we really need to make as a serious recommendation is that this money must be reinvested to be used for nothing else but what it has been requested for. It has to be reinvested and be used for them, but it has been requested that you're going to be doing all these late things, and therefore it must be used as such, no deviation along the way. Because when we do our BRR, how do we account to this type of deviations along the way? How do we really account for that? Which to me is very, very challenging. And the other thing that I 622 million, which has been given to the board. The other observation that I wanted to talk to is that you we're talking about job creation. Job creation goes with capacity building, creating a human development program in that regard. When you want to tease further the issue of here we are, some of the things that should be able to happen is human capital development. You don't seem to be finding the finer issues as to, in terms of human capital development, where do we find ourselves? If people say we have been able to meet the target and the threshold in terms of job creation in our province, it's fine. What kind of job creation? For people to pick up stones and bring them when the bridge is being built? Or do we have those little ones who can be community engineers that whenever there's a pothole or there's a, the bridge is starting to be washed away, they've got knowledge that they can be able to use, or those who can be able to do the lines on the road while once the road has been surfaced and stuff like that? You don't have those at the tips of your fingers to say exactly what are these things, because I believe that the Sabasonge program, when it comes to expanded public works program, we should be able to use it so that we are able to develop the human resource that is so needed, which actually is technical in this regard. We should be able to assist towards building that. So that is why I'm saying, based on those things that I harvested when we were at Northwest, which actually to me was a number of it. I believe that one of the things that we must flag out, and we will be beefing up onto what the National Development Plan is demanding of us, of starting to develop a human resource. In this instance, it is found wanting. But I think the minister really needs to look into monitoring and evaluation of the impact of Sabasonge program so that we can be able to see whether it is working or it is not working based on the effect and the effect that we have seen in the Northwest Province in terms of the reports that we are giving. And I'm saying this, that she really has to monitor. Probably quarterly report that comes from the provinces should be able to indicate how far in terms of 822 million. Now it's midterm, they have used half of that for 1 month. What has it been used for? Can they go and the monitoring team go and look into indeed is this realizable on the ground or not? Can the monitoring team go and evaluate the impact of this development and the infrastructure particularly that is being created, the impact socially, economically, and otherwise, environmentally, because we are also dealing with issues of the climate change and the environment as we are executing infrastructure development in the country. So, to me, those are the things that I felt should be able to raise. But honestly speaking, the roads in Northwest leave much to be desired. I can't use my word today. They leave much to be desired. And people in what was the municipality where we were, they are of the belief that because they don't even know where housing ends and where Northwest starts, they believe they want to go into housing. Because the roads in Gauteng, they get bladed every week when they spend the whole 2 years without having seen a grader coming into their villages to come and blade the roads. And I think this is one Republic of South Africa. The other one is affluent. They can be able to have everything and everything. We are the forgotten ones. We don't see anything. And every time they say, we will run to the guys of the players to say, can you blade this road is going to school? Can you blade this road is going to school? They say, I'm not blading for housing. And this is the border of housing. Can't housing blade the road and build Northwest? These are the quick questions that comes to your mind. Can they do that? They blade the road for people to have a better life in terms of commuting, and then they can build housing, build Northwest at the later stage, and then life will continue. So I would say the in terms of the report, I would recommend that the MC should really come and tell us how do we do that. How do we help him? We really need a report, because much as we know that there are challenges in the Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, all over. But from where I stand, with a hawk's eye, I'm not a hawk, but with a hawk's eye, I can see that probably if we start with Northwest, we should be able to look into the other provinces as to how do we work. Look at the West province, that's my proposal, and then look at the province which is able to be out of the woods a bit, take these models and be able to say how do we now improve on a Tamba Sonke program going forward, because we must look at the West and the best and say now how do we take the process forward in this regard. But let me say that I agree with the proposal that has been put forward in terms of the recommendations which have been put here. That's it. Any other input from those who did not attend?
Yes. I'm asked those who did not attend. Since during committee weeks, all committees go to oversight. I was with the committee on tourism during this time. But when looking at the recommendations, the recommendations are directed to the Minister of Transport and the department. Let me put it that way. I think the oversight was undertaken during the month of September. Must we as a committee, it is now discussed today here, must we work as a committee till it is tabled in Parliament, or do we have the chance to take the recommendations that are directed to the Minister, so that when they plan, they must plan having these recommendations in mind? Or do we have to wait till the report is tabled in Parliament? I'm just asking. So, yes, where do we go? It was September then. It is now February. How long must we wait for the Minister to know? I know during the oversight visits, there is a delegation from the department. Do they take what is discussed there to the Minister? When do we get it back as a committee? So that we know that we don't just take oversight and report that we observed this. At this stage, what must we do so that we make sure that what we have observed there, because if you were there, we were also there. What we observed there, there are interventions made. It's just that question. Otherwise, your observations, the presentations that were done there, whatever you observed there, I am also there. The person who was not there, I feel as if I was there. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much. Any other hand, Honorable Mapika?
Thanks, Jay. I will concur with the Honorable who has just spoken, Echo. Because I was also not part of the delegation that went there. But the report is very clear to also update as well as part of the delegation. You have clearly mentioned, Chairperson, to say maybe the MEC needs to be brought before the committee to come and explain as to what is it that is or the department is doing, because it's terrible. The situation is very bad. So interventions are needed urgently. it cannot be allowed that some people will be living under such conditions when their neighbors, like in housing, the situation is different altogether. So I'm in support of the recommendations. As I've mentioned, that the report is very clear to tell even a person who was not there as to what the members of that place when they were there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Deko, I think as members of the department come to oversight meetings, they take the letters up with the minister, which we expect that on a quarterly basis as they are reporting on programs and programmatic projects in the department, they factor those into cognizance. Let me just quickly give an example that we went to Lesotho Free State border on issues challenging of taxis and what have you. The report, much as it was delayed because it had to serve through three committees, there are certain things which actually, based on the interest that we always accompany us, the minister has been able to execute to make sure that those impasses are being dealt with. And if you can just take yourself to the first two seasons of 2015, there were no skirmishes within the taxi operating between the Lesotho and South Africa in this instance. So that is how this are being factored into. Maybe the other recommendation which we have not touched here. On site, as we were talking between Mr. Shabisa and the Northwest team led by the HOD in Northwest, we said to the team that because they are reporting on a monthly basis, we would want Mr. Shabisa to update us on progress with respect to the affected area, Cape Cod, Mabopane, and the other areas where the PRLG is being expanded on a quarterly basis, that they come and give us progress in this regard. So I think it will also be important that as we deal with this matter, we remind the department that Mr. Shadisa from September is owing us a report which must tell us how far have they worked with respect. Remember, when we were there also, the Department of Transport in Northwest indicated that it was September, and they were saying in November, the contractor is coming back to start doing work. Which, of course, as a committee, we're saying, it's going to be rainy season, it's going to be thirsty season. So our anticipation is that there will be little work that will be done, probably to assist people during thirsty season that they can be able to use the road. And then we are expecting that come January, when everybody goes back to work with the rainy seasons and what have you, we will see sizable program and progress before the end of the financial year in that particular area. So we would want to get from Mr. Shabisa as to how far have they gone in that regard through interaction with what is happening in Northwest. YT, what is YT saying? There was an engineer, YT, whatever, he also promised that on a regular basis he will update the committee. So we have to call back, as I say, Honorable Teko, to these people to say, hey, YT, come, give us the white thing so that we can be black and white. We want to see YT giving it black and white for us to be able to deal with this challenge. So I thought that is one recommendation which actually is missing here in terms of the recommendations that the roads unit department must update us on progress, because they also said to us that they're doing monitoring in terms of the PRNG. Gavala, can we and me and propose that we adopt this report, Mr. Kondi? Thank you very much. With the first set of minutes, can we deal with the minutes of October? We're not done with. Okay. Okay. Minutes of the 22nd of. Looking at the minutes.
Do not come back home when you are at home.
Okay. Do you remember the minutes? Okay. Honorable members, the minutes of the 22nd of September were not passed through. Those were the minutes where we're dealing with international conventions, the Ceremonial Protocol, Maritime Transport Charter, briefed by the department. Can we look into page one of the minutes? Page two, page one and two is apologies and people who were present in the delegation. Page three, presentation on the Maritime Charter and the Cape Town Agreement. Anything on page three? Can we go to page four? Moloto Road Development Implementation Updates, which was done by the DDG for RIL. And the presentation on the review and assessment of PATCO Sandfontein contracts. The 3.1, 3.2, 3.3, that was briefing by Prasa and Sandra. Progress in terms of the Moloto Rail Corridor, in terms of the rail and the road, how far have they progressed in this regard? It looks like there's progress because the coordinating crisis, whatever they call them, committee, is nowadays very quiet. Page 5? Yeah, but I just want to go about not so much.
Yeah.
Yes. They put me during the summer holidays, but I do not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, page 5, can we adopt the minutes as presented to us before adoption, Honorable Wissinger?
Thank you, Chief. Sorry, the last paragraph is before point number 4. Member suggested that the committee engage with National Treasury and the Standing Committee of Appropriations regarding the Moloto Road Corridor Development Project. Isn't there a need for a bit more specifically on what particular points the committee would like to engage with National Treasury?
Oh, yes. The reason why we felt that we need to find out from National Treasury was with the effect that there is some contract. I've forgotten what they call that, those simple terminology in treasury, which was to be signed for Prasa to be able to start doing certain processes in terms of financial. Remember, the minister indicated that there's billion plus which actually Prasa has to use in terms of the rail on that thing. So the concerns that Professor was raising was that Treasury is taking too long which actually is making their progress to be retarded a bit. Transaction, whatever, I can't remember the terminology that they're using, which actually they were talking about the abbreviation TA1, TA2, something like that, which they wanted Treasury to speed up so that they can be able to start working towards whatever that's supposed to happen. Remember, one of the things is they have identified where the rail is going to be moving, and in some area they have to procure land. In some areas there must be removals of people, which actually they've got a team on the ground which is working with the traditional leaders and the municipalities to deal with that. And where there is private land involved, they are also dealing with that type of problems. We're satisfied as a committee to say we don't want a situation where, like what Sandra did, you have something happening at the tail end, then people start to come and say, but we were not part of that. So PASA has got teams on the ground that are dealing to some of the things which actually will affect the well-being of the communities in those particular areas. But exciting is the fact that SANRA, in this instance, remember we've got the three provinces involved. Limpopo has given the road to SANRA. Mpumalanga has given the road to SANRA. We were challenged in terms of how things still holding on to the road. We don't know as to what are the simmering things which are happening between Gauteng and SANRA. But in the last part one meeting, we said to SANRA, start where you've got a permission. And indeed, that is where they started from the extreme. From Limpopo, that is where they are starting. They have designed, particularly where there is a population, there's a lot of population in Kwampanga and all those areas. They have already started to design the road in such a way that work is going on with SANRA, and that is why we request, we were saying we are happy with how SANRA is doing work. The challenge now comes into PRASA in terms of the delays which come from Treasury, which is not their own, out of their own making, which that is why we felt we need to talk to Treasury to find out as to what exactly are the key issues in this matter. But we also felt that we need to engage the Committee on Appropriations so that they can be able to assist us to unblock the blockages that are coming from Treasury. So it was within those. It's just that I've forgotten the terminology that they were using in their document. Any other thing? On the speech, myself and Honorable Masongani were part of this corridor when they were developed during the era of President Thabo Mbeki. They were signed by the National Cabinet in 2005, 10 years down the line, we are still dealing with them where we left them at the particular area. So at least we would take pride and say, snail's pace, but at least it is getting there.
Yeah.
When it was being spoken to, the chairperson of environmental affairs was the MEC for transport, in Mpumalanga, and every time you will be saying, oh, Vuthumlilo, Mpumalanga. Vuthumlilo, so those are the things, but at least there is progress. We just need to push as the committee that we start to see a faster problem in this regard. This was the last of the minute. Honorable member, anything else? No general idea which it is in the beginning. There is no general. I was just checking. Sure. On that note, we have come to the end of our meeting. Yes. Me and you. What?
Okay.
Two of us.
Yes.
Yes, to adopt them.
Okay, you seconded the adoption of this meeting. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Meet Member. I think we have done quite a good job. Wish you luck as we will be listening to the State President of the Republic presenting the State of the Nation address. And we're looking forward to those who will be debating on the State of the Nation to make us wiser, because the more you engage and interact, the better you become on a daily basis. And we hope that from here, it's going to be business, and good luck in this year 2016. See you next week, as we will be dealing with other issues and other matters. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
I'm on the block. I'm on the block.